The last time I was here, I pointed out that we get to be vessels for God to use. We get to be vessels for God to use. Today, the Lord is saying, make room for him. He says, make room for me to work in your life. If you don't hear anything, hear this. You get overwhelmed and paralyzed when you play the role only God can play. And so God is calling us to make room for him. Father, thank you for this time. Your children are gathered to you. Tune our hearts and our ears to hear you. And glorify yourself, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When you look around our world today, it is chaos. It's confusion. There you go. God is confirming it. But what we have here in our world right now is just one crisis after another. And no matter where you get your news, whether it's through podcasts, the internet, social media, radio, listening, watching, you likely feel anxious. The COVID crisis, the resulting economic fallout, political divisions, and social unrest have left many, many, many of us feeling worried, disoriented. And there's so much craziness in our world today. Wars, conflicts, violence. And if you're like me, you probably are scared by the news. Does the news scare you? You listen to the news and you feel paralyzed and hopeless. Oh, this war in Ukraine, the shock of the human tragedy, the economic consequences of that war. You have gas prices through the roof. Inflation. Inflation, inflation. Oh, and then you have Uvalde, the slaughter of innocent children in their classrooms. Are we safe? And then you have random acts of violence, New York City and other places. Given these, chronic stress seems inevitable. With so many bad things happening in the world, it's difficult to just hang on. Even more difficult it is when you are a parent or a teacher, a leader. How do you maintain your sanity in such times? How are you coping? Here's the problem. The crisis is not ending soon. Billy Graham once said, anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and his will for us. Anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and his will for us. I'm suggesting that the reason you are overwhelmed is you are carrying a weight you were not meant to bear. You're playing a role that only God should. Let's make room for God. So Moses was found in a similar situation. We go to Numbers. We'll be reading from Numbers chapter 11 this morning. Numbers 11, and Moses is leading the people through to the promised land. Here's the context. God has called the people, and God is delivering them out of Egypt from their slavery, from their bondage. Go to the promised land. And Moses is the leader, handpicked by God to lead the people. And as Moses is going along with these people, of course, God is providing miracles here and there. And these people have seen miracles. They've seen God's provision. But at this time here in Numbers 11, the people are grumbling and they are complaining. And they've forgotten what God has done. And so poor Moses is leading these people, and it is a lot of complaining. So Numbers 11, 1 through 9, it says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord." Oops, when you are complaining, God is hearing you, okay? "And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down." So that place was called Taberah because fire from the Lord had burned among them. "The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat.'" We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. No cost? "Also, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. "The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into loaves. And it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down." Here's what we have. Let's look at the people. They were dissatisfied with the present. And they were complaining. They were grumbling. These were people who have seen God's miraculous work in their lives. And every morning, it's just grumbling, complaining. I was thinking about this. What's the difference between complaining and praying? I think in praying, we're speaking to God. In complaining, we're speaking to ourselves about God, and we're speaking about God, maligning God. How about God knows I'm here? God is with me. God can solve this problem. You see, grumbling, complaining only worsens our situation. You're praying to yourself. And then you see how paralyzed you are. Being thankful, praising God changes our situation. Doubting God's power, his ability, his love, doubting God's love for me, believing those lies, makes me even more wretched, more miserable, increases my pity party. The truth is, either way, God hears you. The Lord hears you either praising him or complaining and grumbling about him, and telling him what a horrible job he's doing. And I can do better than you, God. Were they experiencing hardship? Yes. They were in the desert. Just hang out with me there. In the desert. You probably didn't have the air-conditioned rooms that we have here. You probably didn't have nice bathroom facilities in the desert. If you had little kids that were around you and they were crying and you had to take care of them, they were not having a party. They did have hardship. But they had seen God. They had seen God's provision. I'm suggesting that in your present situation, you probably have some difficulties, some challenges. But that's no reason to deny God's provision and what God has done in the past. It's a song that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let's think about their blessings. You are the pillar of cloud, leading them by day, the pillar of fire by night. You have the daily provision that God made for them, manna, food. But they were not content with that. I'm not suggesting that it's not okay to tell God about your problems. I'm suggesting that you need to be honest with God in your prayer. Complaining arouses the anger of the Lord. Remember, he's the consuming fire. He's not my buddy. Here's, I think, the root of the problem. These people were trivializing God's provision. They were dissatisfied with what God had provided for them. This is all we have, manna, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They were ungrateful. They don't appreciate what God had provided for them. Maybe you are not complaining about manna, but you're saying, all I have is this measly job, and all I have is this two-bedroom house, and all I have is this car. All I have is, and I want more. And you forget to be thankful for what you have. Amen. In the process, you are rejecting God's plan for you. You're saying, I can do better. God's making a mess of this. Who are you? The interesting thing as you read the passage is that it started with the rabble, the people, if you like, not the real Jewish people, God's own people, but the others from Egypt that joined them. It started with the rabble. They craved the things that they had left behind. And it looks like we have the same challenges here. The fear that is in our world today is creeping into the church. The anxiety that is in the world is creeping into the church, and we are forgetting the God that we serve. Disconnect. Discontent, anxiety, worry in the world is creeping into the church, and God's children are whining just like the rest of the world. Contrast that with how Moses addresses his challenges. I love this. So Moses is God's man, is God's leader. Unlike the people who are grumbling, complaining, and whining, and not grateful, Moses is praying. He's trusting. But Moses is exhausted. Let's see it. Beginning from verse 10. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry. The next time you are complaining, remember that. And Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, I like how Moses is direct with the Lord. Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to the ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me if I find favor in your eyes. and do not let me face my own ruin. Now, I'm suggesting that in our prayer, we can be direct and bold with God. I'm not talking about trivializing what God has done. I'm not talking about bringing God to your level. I'm talking about being honest and direct, clear with God. He knows it anyway. Moses took his complaints to the Lord in prayer. And so I'm suggesting be honest with the Lord, bold. But don't forget that he is God and you are not. A couple of weeks ago, Kerry was in prayer, and she was pointing out that Wednesday night prayer, intercessory prayer, she pointed out that when Uvalde happened, there were several people accusing her on Facebook, etc. When I was preparing this, it came to me, when you are falsely accused, remember God hears it too and cares for you. Moses was being falsely accused by all these people, and he did not take it out on them. He didn't duke it out with them. Come on, let's duke it out. He went to the Lord. Yes. Remember, Jesus was also falsely accused. God understands and is with you when you're accused falsely. Remember, God gave you the assignment. God equips the ones he calls. We become overwhelmed when we try to do God's work with our human strength and limitations. That's it. Now, so Moses went to God, was complaining to God, and God said, Moses, can you calm down for a minute? Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. And I'll take some of this, of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. You know, Moses was exhausted. He was doing it all by himself. Carrying a load God alone should. So I was reading this, realized that burnout happens very, very easily when you're doing God's work alone with human strength. It comes from this perception, this conception that if I don't do it, it won't get done. And perhaps it's not just God's work, whatever it is. But maybe I am not God. Remember, the work is the Lord's, and it will continue when you are gone. And this is something that keeps me always, I'm hoping, humble, that I'm not indispensable to God. I am not indispensable to God. And you are not indispensable to God. When we have a false sense that I'm the only one who can do it, we overwork ourselves. And whatever it is, we don't have to carry the burden alone. We need to go back to the Lord. I find that when I'm praying for people and they share their burden with me, if I just take that burden by myself, I am overwhelmed, I'm paralyzed. But I can take it to the Lord. And that relieves me of that burden. I don't know what it is you're facing, what challenges you're facing. If you're looking at that problem alone by yourself, it gets overwhelming and paralyzing. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's what he calls us to. And that's why it's important for us to make room for God. When we're dealing with those difficult challenges, it's not us. It's not our power. It's not our might. Remember, the work is the Lord's and it will continue when I am gone. So God asked Moses to bring 70 elders. He distributes power among the 70, fills them with the Spirit, and they begin to prophesy. For us at New Life, that's important. The 70, 68 were present there. God imparted to them, that's what we'll do here. We'll lay hands on the elders or whoever it is that we are bringing into this new role. And we believe that we impart anointing for ministry. Interesting thing is that there were two people that were not with Moses at the time. And that same anointing of the Lord was on those two, and they began to prophesy. And they reported that to Moses and asked, should we stop them? You should stop them. And Moses said, no. I'm not fighting for my position. Moses was not eager to protect his position, his title. Moses was meek. And I'm suggesting that maybe in various situations, we need to let God fight the battles. Let God fight our battles. All right. So then God is speaking to Moses. He says, tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. Tell them, the Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just 1 day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? So God speaks to you. When you pray, God speaks to you. For some of us, our prayer is simply a shopping list. Present that shopping list, and then we get up and leave. No, prayer is two-way communication. You speak to God, God speaks back to you. And so God speaks to you. And when God gives you that word, hold on to that word. Because he's going to keep his word. Okay. And what did Moses say to God? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot. And you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? Have you been there before? Where there's an impossible problem before you. And you take it to the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to do it. And then like Moses, you begin to figure out how God must do it, how God will do it. Moses begins to think. How many people? 600,000 people? 600,000 men alone. So let's say that you have one woman for each of the 600,000 men. That's 1.2 million, 600 plus 600, 1.2 million. Oh, let's say that each couple has two little kids. That's another 1,200 people. 600,000 plus 600,000 plus 2.4 million. God, how can you do this? And you say you're going to feed them, give them meat for not 1 day, not 2 days, one whole month. It doesn't compute, God. How many chickens are we going to need? How many sheep? How many cattle? In the desert here? And the mental calculations, gymnastics, this doesn't compute, God. Frequently, that's where we are. We try to figure out whether God can do it. And then we convince ourselves that he can't. And then we call him, you're a liar. Yeah, before you get too mad with Moses, before you condemn Moses, stop and think how many times you have given instructions to God exactly how he must do it. Here is how you pray. God, I need that new car. Maybe tell Pastor Jeff to buy me that new car. Or you could help me to win the lottery. Or you could do this. We're suggesting to God what or how he must do it. In the process, we lose our joy. Because as we look, well, but Pastor Jeff doesn't like me anyway. And Pastor Jeff doesn't have that much money. And so he probably could not do it. And so maybe, God, you wouldn't be able to do it after all. And we're paralyzed. In your praying, do you play God? Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I need to be careful as I approach the Lord. I need to present my challenges, my difficulties to him. But let God be God. Are you waiting for a miracle from God? Don't expect God to tell you exactly how he's going to do it. Can we trust him and let him surprise us? Can we make room for God to do what he wants to do? Sometimes what happens is while we're waiting for God, we begin to think that God needs some help. I need to help him out. And so, remember Abraham and Sarah? God had promised that was going to give them a son, and God was taking forever. And they figured out that they should give God some help. So they brought in Sarah's mate, and they helped God out. I'm sorry, God doesn't need your help. Let's let God be God. Okay? Let's learn to trust him. He is the God who does the impossible. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, will he not fulfill it? Remember, you have the mighty God who does impossible things beyond what your little brain can fathom. All right, let's see what God does. The God we serve is the compassionate God. He's a promise keeper. He's a consuming fire. Beginning from verse 16, it talks about how the Lord sent the wind. Verse 16 says, then the Lord, all night long, the Lord sent the wind and it blew. Verse 31. Then a wind from the Lord sprang up. And it brought quail from the sea and led them, it brought quail all around them. And 3 feet deep, a day's walk. Quail. 3 feet deep. 1 day's walk, about 20 miles. I need to picture this. So you wake up in the morning, just in the same way that they have had the manna, you have quail, chickens, surrounding the camp, 3 feet deep. 20 miles radius. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing. So stop wondering how God will do it. His tools are more powerful, more diverse. After you've heard from God, declare it. I don't know whether Moses could have fathomed this with his mind. 3 feet deep of meat. 20 miles radius. And in your wildest imagination. So if you can think about the God who does the impossible, the God who controls the winds and the seas obey him. I don't know whether all that quail was hiding. God knew. And at the right time, he blew them all in. I'm suggesting that the problem that you're dealing with that has you paralyzed, if you put your eyes on God, he will make a big difference for you. So, here's what I've been trying to say so far, assuming you've not got it yet. We are facing difficult, difficult challenges. And for many of us, it is a challenge that is impossible. And frequently we find ourselves paralyzed. Frequently we find ourselves doubting whether there is any hope. And it is because we have taken our eyes off of God. And it's important for us to make room for God. There's another example, and I'll give that to you as an assignment to read when you go home. In 2 Chronicles 20, chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat and his people, after this, the Moabites harmonized together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. They came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. It is already in Hazeron Tamar. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat inquired, resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed the fast for all of Judah. And the people of Judah came to seek the Lord for help. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. And Jehoshaphat said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before you? Your people Israel, and give it forever to our descendants of Abraham, your children, your friend. You rule over the kingdom, God. You are the almighty God. So power and might are in your hand. God, do your work. Do what only you can do. And as Jehoshaphat prayed to the Lord, go on. We have lived in this land, and now these people are coming to attack us. God, save us. Next one. But now here are the men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you will not allow us to pass through. They are coming to repay us by driving us out of our inheritance. God, will you not judge them? Here's the point. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, and he stood in the assembly. And he said to Jehoshaphat and his people, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I don't know what it is you're facing. The point is that the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. And instead of complaining, grumbling, overwhelmed, let God do his work. So Here is my suggestion. We need to make room for God. Events and circumstances around us are paralyzing. But we have seen God faithful. And he is ready to do it again. The last time I was here, I shared that God had called me here to sacrifice my Isaac. And it was a difficult, difficult decision. He was asking me to give some money to a church that my former student, somebody that we both know, was building. It was a difficult decision. I did. And at the time, I remember I was asking the Lord, okay, God, I'm going to obey you now. You have to provide for what I need. I need the money for what I'm doing. And my sweet wife, she said, if God doesn't come through for you, would you still serve him? And I remember standing here and weeping and saying, God, thank you for choosing me to be your vessel for that time. I'll come back and tell you the rest of the story. But now Esther will come and share with us a song that says, make room for God. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, let's make room for God. Thank you.
I sang this song at Robeson earlier this morning, and as I was sharing, I just thought about how in my own life, if I think about God's track record of faithfulness to me over the course of my life, it's so much easier for me to make room for him to do what he wants to now, because I know that he's done it before, and so I know he can do it again. And so being able to trust in the faithfulness of God has made it come a little bit more easily to me to release control over the outcomes, over the things that are happening in my life. And this year in particular has been full of plot twists for me related to my health, related to my work, my business, and every single time God has come through. And so this message has been really timely for me today, and I'm hoping that it has been for you as well. And so we're going to just sing Make Room, and so you know this song, so you can sing along with us. Here is where I lay it down, every lie.
Thank you, Esther and the band. This is the logical response to our all-loving, almighty, all-loving God. The only logical response is to count our blessings, not complain. To take it to God and leave it there. He can handle it. He's big enough to handle our frustrations, our challenges. And it's time for us to make room for God. I don't know what it is, what it means for you. But wherever you are, it's time for you to make room for the Almighty God to come in. It's time for you to let God be God in your life. It's time for you to stop playing God. You are not God. And allow God to shake the ground in your life. Allow God to do what only He can do. For all of us, let's ask Him to do His work, to have His way. Master, thank you for the privilege we have, Lord, of calling you God. Forgive us, Father, for the many times when we have doubted your ability to intervene in our lives. Forgive us for the many times when we have taken your role upon ourselves in the process, Lord. We have felt overwhelmed, hopeless. Thank you that you love us too much to leave us there. And so, Lord, this morning we surrender to you. Here is our surrender, Lord. Have your way with us, Lord. Lord, we make room for you. And we say, do what only you can. Let Jesus Christ be exalted and glorified. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that you are the all-powerful promise keeper, faithful and true. Lord, you are working us and grant us the grace to trust you. Thank you, Lord. Do not consume us with your consuming fire, Lord. Pour your love afresh into our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The altars are going to be open. Please come and do business with God. Let's receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lead you and guide you and enable you to make room for Him every day. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ flood you this day and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.